Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, St. Paul says we should think about these things. And I'd like to add that we should talk about them too, because that is how we do it on Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation that explores, affirms, and celebrates our Catholic identity in these modern times, so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy G is in the house right across the desk from me, my dependable engineer and chief fact checker. All systems go, Jimmy G?
Always great to see you. Yeah, we're ready to rock and roll.
I couldn't rock and roll without you.
Well, hey, I'm feeling like we need something bright and chipper. There's just so much, I don't know, stuff that's not bright and chipper in the world today.
Is that, well, Jimmy G, I'm sorry you're having a bad day.
I'm not. Well, I just, I look at the news too much.
All signs indicate otherwise.
I look at the news too much.
Okay. All right. Well, look, Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope. We're going to bring you some good news.
Yeah.
And the Tower of Hope is on the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. This is the seat of the Diocese of Orange, conveniently situated, sandwiched right between Los Angeles and San Diego in Southern California. Now, here's a little bit of good news. It's Mother's Day weekend, Jimmy G.
That's right.
Are you doing anything special for your bride tomorrow?
I got to talk with my kidlets about that.
Well, that's right. It's a collaboration.
We've got a plan in place, but she's their mom, so we're going to plan something else.
Yes. No labor for mom.
I need their input.
Labor-free for mom.
I need their input.
Well, yeah, no, that's cute, because she's their mom.
Amen.
Right? Okay, so we want to wish everybody a very blessed Mother's Day. To all the mothers in our listening audience. Now, that includes mothers, godmothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, and most importantly, of course, our own very blessed Mother Mary. Mm. I have a really precious friendship with an order of cloistered nuns, the Norbertine Sisters in Tehachapi, California. That's where their convent is located, on kind of a secluded 476-acre parcel. And one of the sisters recently, in explaining to someone about the order of their day, what their schedule is, what comes after what, she talked about a lot of the formal things. And then there's a point at which they get up in the middle of the night. It's their routine, and they pray at maybe 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Amazing.
It's their vigil. And so when somebody said, why do you do that? And she said, well, we're spiritual mothers. And in the same way that a mother gets up in the middle of the night to nourish her children, her babies, we get up in the middle of the night to nourish our children, the children to whom we've been entrusted to.
Amazing.
Prayer.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is.
Yeah. So we want to wish everybody a very blessed Mother's Day. Spiritual mothers, what a beautiful, particularly beautiful imagery. So this weekend on Call Me Catholic, we are honorarium. No honorarium involved here. We are honoring and celebrating motherhood. And our guest today, she's coming up in a minute, she is certainly a spiritual mother to the thousands of viewers and listeners who enjoy her compassionate and informed counsel and instruction on EWTN's Women of Grace. Mm. Yes, I have the privilege of talking with Jeanette Bankovic in just a minute. She has a new book out. It's called The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare, which she co-wrote with Thomas Sullivan. Those of you who are familiar with Jeanette and her Women of Grace apostolate know that she is a passionate advocate of the Rosary and devotion to our Blessed Mother. And so she's going to share with us how this book was crafted to help deepen our appreciation for the history and efficacy of praying the Holy Rosary. And then in chatting with Catholics, you're going to hear a story that I grew up with. I recorded my own mother recounting a memory from her childhood about her mother, about growing up during the Depression. It involves Our Lady of Perpetual Help, the Little Sisters of the Poor, and a knock at the door that tested their faith. And by the way, Jimmy G and I posted pictures of ourselves with our cute moms on our Facebook page. We have the great blessing and good fortune of having our mothers still with us.
That's something
we don't take for granted. And our Facebook page is where we really reveal our true selves to our public. Don't you think, Jimmy G?
You know, last I checked, I think we were just about at 1,500.
Yeah, I think we're probably already there.
Maybe we were up and over now.
Our number counter.
Nice number. Yeah.
Well, we try to keep it fun and interesting, and we always journal who we've had, show pictures of our guests from our studio audience here. We have a studio audience. one or two occasionally.
We have the gallery.
Yeah. So check out our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/callmecatholic and give us a like and join the Call Me Catholic family. You can also send us an email if you have any questions or comments in particular that you'd like to address to us. Send it to callmecatholic@ewtn.com. But right now it's time for our Call Me Catholic countdown of the week in honor of Mother's Day. And today we have dueling countdowns between Jimmy G and myself. Those are always fun. We're going to both share the top five most important things we learned from our mothers. Now, we had to limit it to top five. I'm sure we have dozens and dozens of things that we treasure that our mothers taught us. But we have to limit it to five because we only have so much time and the audience only has so much attention span.
Exactly.
Okay, so here we go. Our Call Me Catholic countdown of the week.
The Call Me Catholic
Countdown.
Some music
might work for this week's theme.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's kind of upbeat, jazzy. Do you want to go first, Jimmy G, or do you want me to go first? We start at number five and work up.
Let's see. I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay.
You're number five.
Number five of things that I learned from my mom. Make sure that the house is clean before you have guests over.
Well, that's very practical.
Yes.
And do you still live by that?
Well, we rarely have guests over.
Well, I bet your wife probably does a good job of
that. So my short answer would be yes, I do love it.
You always have to be prepared for that unexpected guest.
Yeah, this is true.
That would be another pearl of wisdom that a mother might give you. Okay, my number five would be simply the word generosity. My mom is an extremely, one of the most generous people I have ever known. Growing up, I remember as a child witnessing her spontaneous generosity to people in need, to people that we worked with that came into our house and worked. My mother to this day she can never resist a phone plea. Actually, I'm not giving out her phone number on the air, see? But she gives to charity, she gives to people that need it. And it's not because she is a woman of such great means, it's because she is a woman of such great generosity. And I hope that someday I can model the generosity that she has modeled for me.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. All righty. Well, number two of things that I learned from my mom.
You're going to go to number four now.
Oh, number four. Excuse me.
Working down up.
Number four. Don't talk behind people's backs. Don't badmouth people.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard you badmouth anybody, Jimmy G. Now, you know, I don't know what you say when I leave the room.
If walls could talk. I really try to be careful about that. It's something I've learned from both my parents. It's not a practice you want to engage in.
Well, and you have to, if you are a parent giving that lesson, sort of repeating that lesson, it has to be more than just words. It has to be your example that's going to speak louder than just the rule of the house. So obviously your mom and dad were a good example of
they
not
were.
Talking behind people's
definitely.
Back, not giving
yeah.
scandal. Very good. Okay, my number four would be, it's going to turn out okay. The day is going to turn out okay. My mom always had this little quote that she would borrow from Robert Browning, which is, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. I think it came from a poem that was, I think the whole verse was, the lark's on the wing, the snail's on the thorn, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. And I remember my mom always saying that. You remember words that they just seem like words at the time, but when I look back, I know that was my mom always giving us hope. Come on, it's going to be a good day, and you got to put your trust in the Lord and give it your best shot today. Get up and put a smile on your face. So I love that. God's in his heaven, all's right with the world.
That is awesome. I'm glad we're recording this so I can.
oh, are we?
Yes. Alrighty, number three for me, show hospitality to people, welcome them with a smile and a greeting.
And a clean house, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Hospitality is not just bringing people into your home. Hospitality is how you greet people on the street, how you treat people at work.
And you know, a good memory with my mom is when I was young, my friends always enjoyed coming over to my house. Because my mom was always so welcoming to my friends, and they would later say to me, your mom is so cool.
She is
so
cool. People, she came into the studio. I hope we were hospitable to her.
Yes.
But she came in to watch one of the shows a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago. And she is the most charming, dear woman. I can see where you get your personality, Jimmy G. Oh, that's a lovely lesson. Okay, my number three would be kind of practical things my mom taught me. And I had to toggle between two different concepts here. My mom led me to learn bridge because of her example of playing bridge and enjoying bridge so much. So as an adult, I have taught myself bridge and I love it. It's a great card game. Very, very challenging. But even more enduring than the recreation of bridge is my mom taught me how to make macaroni and cheese. Yeah. Now I have tweaked the recipe since then to adjust to my family's own taste, but we grew up with homemade macaroni and cheese and occasionally the fish stick if it was Lent.
Right.
But macaroni and cheese homemade, not the kind in the blue and yellow box.
Right.
This is the good stuff. And my kids, it's one of my kids' favorite dishes. Maybe I'll post that recipe on our Facebook page.
Hey, good idea.
Yeah. Mom's macaroni and cheese. It's nothing like it.
Very practical.
And delicious.
Alrighty, and I'm number two, right? We're counting down.
Yeah, we're number okay. two.
Accept people for who they are. Don't judge. That's God's job.
Oh, very heavy. Yeah. So have you been able to do, is that a struggle for you? You have to go back to your mom's words sometimes?
You know, once again, I think as I've gotten older with maturity, I'm doing much better at it than I used to.
Very good.
I really am.
Well,
yeah.
I certainly see nothing but your mother's example in you. Okay.
You're just
number
saying.
Two for me would be the gift of caretaking. My mom is an incomparable caretaker. While I was growing up, I watched her care for my grandmother and then my aunt. I watched her care for my uncle who was dying. I watched her care for my father who died in her care. I mean, she was such an incredible caretaker. He died way too young of a heart disease. And then with her next husband, Bill, she cared for him. She cared for my sisters when they were sick. She just does such a beautiful job of taking care of people in need. And I have not been called to that in my life yet, in my adult life, yet really caring for someone who is bedridden. But she modeled that beautifully, and it was an inspiration to me and all of my sisters.
Your mom's inspiring me.
As is yours.
Alrighty, well, the last one for me would be pretty clear. It reads like this. Call your mother. I just need to call
mothers of the world.
Yes.
That's their motto. Call your mother.
Call your mother.
Oh, that's very good. Okay, well, call her today. Call her this weekend. I hope you do.
I will.
You'll see her.
You better believe it.
Yeah. Well, the number one thing my mom taught me was my faith. My mom, my dad modeled it too. My mom and dad were very beautiful Catholics, and we lived that in our home. We lived that in our parish life. We were raised in Catholic education. And it wasn't a come and go type thing. It was a very, very consistent aspect of our life, our family life. Grace before meals, attending Mass during Sunday, doing special things during Lent, and devotion to the saints and to the Blessed Mother. We had beautiful religious imagery in our home about which we talked all the time. So I would say without my mother's example, without my mother's instruction, I would not be maybe the Catholic that I am today. And I hope to become a better Catholic every day of my life. But my mother certainly planted that seed. So,
amen.
Thanks, Mom. Right, Jimmy G?
You better believe it. Thank you, Mom.
Thanks, Mrs. Jimmy G, for all that you've done. There we have it, our dueling Call Me Catholic countdowns for the week. And if we had made you think about the most important things your mom passed on to you, then we have achieved our purpose. And by the way, thank your mom for those gifts. Wherever she may be, if she's gone to her heavenly reward, she can still hear you. If you're blessed by her company, as Jimmy G and I are, it's never too late to say thanks, Mom, and happy Mother's Day. So stay with us, friends. Jeanette Bankovic, founder and host of EWTN's Women of Grace, will be joining me to discuss spiritual motherhood and her new book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
How about this? Apple TV allows you to instantly stream EWTN to your TV. Get EWTN today. It's easy. All you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Apple TV player.
Hello, I'm Doug Keck, and this is an EWTN bookmark brief. I just finished interviewing Father Thomas Maurer on his book, Christian Dating in a Godless World. Father Thomas, why don't you give us an idea of what this book is about?
Well, it's about living in a countercultural way, in a Christian way, and living up to the call of the gospel to live chastely, but also to realize how to deal with another person who's quite different in terms of their goals and the way they think about things. But there's a lot more than that in it, practical ideas about how to ask for better behavior and also how to have a good engagement. And good wedding. There's information about having a good Catholic, hardcore Catholic wedding.
Okay, very good. The book is Christian Dating in a Godless World by Father Maurer. Look for the entire interview here on EWTN's Bookmark coming soon. And this has been an EWTN Bookmark Brief. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, this is Father John Paul Mary.
This is Debbie Giorgiani, co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
My friends, this is Bishop Kevin Vann of the Diocese of Orange. I want to thank you very much for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Greetings, my friends. I am Peggy Normandin, host of Call Me Catholic, and I'm wishing Mother's Day blessings on all the mothers, grandmothers, godmothers, and spiritual mothers in our listening audience today. And those of you who nurture and love others as only a mother can, may God shower you with grace and consolation this weekend as we set aside time to recognize all those who have been a mother to us. Our guest today is one of those spiritual mothers in our midst who ministers to others with the love and concern and faithfulness that is a signature of maternal devotion. Johnette Bankovic is known to our EWTN listeners and viewers as the host of Women of Grace, a Catholic apostolate she founded for Christian women. You can hear her every morning on EWTN radio and every day on EWTN TV. She is ubiquitous. She's documented her outstanding wisdom and counsel in many books, including Full of Grace, Women and the Abundant Life, Grace-Filled Moments, and Living Life Abundantly. But today, we are going to talk about her newest book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare, which she co-wrote with Thomas Sullivan. Johnette Bankovic, it is such a privilege and honor to have you on Call Me Catholic. Welcome.
Well, Peggy, thank you so much for the invitation. It's a great grace for me to be with you and all of our listeners today to see what the Holy Spirit has in mind for us.
And like so many mothers out there, you are busy. You are called in so many different directions. So I don't know. It's the old adage. You ask a woman who has a lot to do to get something done and she'll get it done. So thank you for being with us today, this Mother's Day weekend.
Well, it's my grace indeed.
Hey, Johnette, everybody knows that you have a great passion and devotion to the Rosary and to the Blessed Mother. But when we use imagery or vernacular to describe and bring our Blessed Mother to mind, it usually evokes sort of gentle images, mild woman of grace, her face is always this peaceful countenance. And yet you have positioned the Rosary in the context of your book title as spiritual warfare, armor against spiritual warfare, which is a very strong image. How do you justify that?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Peggy. And you're so right. We commonly think of our Blessed Virgin Mary as being very meek and very mild. And we might have an image of her as one who hangs back. But yet Our Lady was at the heart of everything. She was at the heart of our Lord's mission. She raised him for that mission. I think in many ways she birthed him into that mission, which is what spiritual mothers do and what biological mothers do. We birth our children and we birth them at many different times during the course of their lives, their movement from being little children to being adolescents to being young adults, and even through their adult lives, we are there to help them in the moments where they're struggling or they're needing some wisdom and advice that comes from someone older and someone just a little bit more knowledgeable than they in certain areas. And we see this in the life of Our Lady, and we can look very carefully, perhaps, at that moment when Jesus was lost in the temple and Joseph and Mary were looking for him. And Mary says to him, you know, your father and I have been worried about you. And he says, Mother, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And of course, Mary knew that. But she just, there's nothing said there in scripture after that. But I just think she looked at him. And the next thing we hear there in scripture is that he went home with Mary and Joseph, and he was obedient to them, and he grew in wisdom, age, and grace. We can contrast that with the marriage feast at Cana, where Our Lady knows that the time has arrived, and she births him into that knowledge. Son, they have no wine. Woman, he says, reference back to Genesis 3:15, what has this to do with you and with me? And she says nothing. She looks at the servants, do whatever he tells you. And that was the beginning of his public ministry.
So
we see a strong woman here.
Yes, strong, and even if quiet and not full of words, but full of position and commitment.
Exactly. She walks in the full authority of woman. And woman's authority is completely related to her feminine reality and her feminine character. Woman is, if you will, metaphysically, the sign of the sacred. She points men in the way in which they should go. When she lives out that charism, then what we discover is a very strong woman, strong, as you put it so beautifully, in her authority, given to her by God himself.
Well, in your book, The Rosary, your weapon for spiritual warfare. You kind of identify different women throughout history that through our the communion of our saints who were incredibly strong, committed women and wonderful icons for modern feminism. I love the story of Felicity and Perpetua as, my goodness, talk about warriors who didn't use a weapon, didn't draw a weapon against their enemy. That was a beautiful testimony.
Indeed. And we find these icons who are all, in a certain way, types of Our Lady. You know, we find them in the Old Testament. We find them in the New. And yet we find them to be very soft. We find them to be very maternal in the sense of being able to nurture individuals and to take care of them at difficult moments in life. We see in that story, for instance, the way in which Perpetua and Felicity took care of each other in the midst of that great travail. Right?
Both young mothers themselves.
Exactly right.
Yeah, so vulnerable.
We find that every day and every time there are women who stand in the footsteps of our Blessed Lady and bring Jesus to the world and the world to Jesus. And that's Mary's quintessential role.
Well, we've been speaking about women, but typically champions of the rosary have been priests throughout time. And so do you think that men have a different relationship with praying the rosary than women?
Well, I think that can be true. I'm thinking about my friend Thomas K. Sullivan, who co-authored the book with me. And when I was asked to write this book on the rosary, I knew that Thomas had to be a part of it because he and I, as I say very well in the acknowledgments, you know, have sharpened swords together.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about how to use this great prayer as a weapon. But see, the other side of that is that each of those mysteries that we are meditating upon are really entry points by which we can move into the full reality of those mysteries and obtain the grace that was won for us in those mysteries, which exists in the eternal moment. And there's a very feminine quality to that, where we're inviting people into an interior dimension. The woman is all about the interior.
I think a lot of people that pray the rosary forget about the mysteries. And the mysteries are so implicit to the meditation on the rosary. I can't imagine, I can certainly say Hail Marys and Our Fathers and have full meaning with them. But to experience the rosary, you really need to incorporate those mysteries, memorize all the four mysteries of the rosary. It just enriches the experience so much.
Well, it does. And the one chapter in the book, I think it's chapter 6, it talks about how to pray the rosary and what the rosary is meant to do. It's meant to be a transformative prayer. In other words, we're to allow those mysteries to enter into us even as we're striving to enter into them. And I try to remind people that all of the graces that were won for us, through Christ's passion, all of those mysteries that are contained in the rosary have abundance of grace. God wants us to know that grace. Even though those beautiful moments happened in time, they are outside of time. They exist in the eternal moment. And the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ in those mysteries is immediately available to us. When we begin to approach the rosary and the mysteries from that dimension, a whole new world opens up for us.
Well, absolutely. Now, do you have a particular set of mysteries that you're drawn to? I know that each day of the week we ascribe a different set of the mysteries, but I have a favorite set. Do you have a favorite set or a particular one?
I have a couple of them, really. I think that the one that has drawn me most deeply, I think, would be the Sorrowful Mysteries.
Me too.
And isn't that something? I want to ask you, what draws you?
What draws me to the Sorrowful Mysteries is, and I've said this to many people, there isn't an experience that we have on earth of pain or suffering or loss or desolation that does not resonate with one of Christ's mysteries of suffering during his passion. There isn't anything we can experience on earth that Christ didn't experience through his passion, and it's all expressed in those mysteries.
That is such a beautiful, beautiful way of approaching them. And I agree with you. I think that that's why I love them so much. There's nothing that we're experiencing in any given moment that we cannot find a corollary in the passion and death of our Lord. And all of that blood that was shed for us is immediately, and that the graces of it are immediately available to us.
You know, this book is constructed so brilliantly, so creatively, and it engages the reader all the way along, because not only do you give historical stories of the saints and their relationship with the rosary, a historical perspective for all of that, and the rich, you know, spiritual insight that you can bring to everything, Johnette. And then at the end, there's these little testimonies from modern day people about their relationship with the rosary. And then at the very end, toward the end of the book, you ask everyone, you have a call to arms to have a battle plan to actually sort of stimulate the practice of the rosary in your own community, which sort of mimes Doña Amelia Bastos' story in Brazil in the 1960s, which is a fantastic story. Can you share that with our listeners? Because I think you can tell it better than I can.
One of the most beautiful, I think, testimonies of the rosary and its power in contemporary times. You know, in 1962, Brazil was being taken over by the Communist Party. And they had, infiltrators mm-hmm. that were embedded within the government and within the various communities, et cetera. And when the people began to recognize what was happening, they began to raise up. And it first started with a lot of the businessmen who were Catholic and came together and said, what can we do to affect, a change that will stop this red aggression from moving forward? And so they had all these different plans going on. And oftentimes these particular plans were being hatched, if you will, in the home of Amelia. And she overheard one evening and she said, enough of this. We women have to make a difference here. And her game plan was all about praying the rosary. They began to get literature out. They began to pull women together. They began to get the women to start these basically little rosary cenacles mm-hmm. in their home. And they began to storm the public square en masse praying the rosary.
Can you imagine? And just picture that. I love it. It's worthy of an epic movie scene.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
You know, 100,000 people gathering here and there. And when the Communist Party folded up their tents, basically, and left, you know, it became clear to all of the men that none of this could have been affected had it not been for the women. When these different communist leaders would get up to speak, the women were there en masse. They'd lift their rosaries and they'd rattle them in the air.
They'd drown them out. I love that. So it's very tangible. Tangible too. It's not just
very
spiritual.
Tangible.
It's very tactile. You can use them as little noisemakers. It's
That's
all
exactly
good.
Right.
So you
and it's Doña Bastos's plan that we offer at the end, and we show people how they can do this very same thing within their parish settings, their community settings, within their homes. You know, we can win this cultural war, this battle against barbarism. We can win it, but we have to use heaven's plan, not our plan.
That's where we borrow Nike's expression, just do it. Hey, we're going to continue our conversation with EWTN's own Johnette Bankovic. And when we return, we're going to dig into more of the hidden treasures of the rosary as laid out in her newest book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare, co-written by Thomas Sullivan. How you can adopt this prayer practice with more verve and devotion. So stay with us. We'll be right back with more Call Me Catholic. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
It's the start of a new day for Morning Catholic Radio.
Love has been such an overused word. Like almost has more significance today. You know, for example, I was in a retreat and the priest says, remember, he says, God doesn't just love you, he even likes you.
Not on Facebook. We're not talking Facebook.
Morning Glory, Catholic from the start. Weekday mornings, 7 Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Be touched by the sacredness of the Most Blessed Sacrament, the resting place of Mother Angelica, plus tour the EWTN campus. Start your Catholic pilgrimage today with EWTN. Call 205-271-2966.
Some atheists attack the faith by propping up a ridiculous idea that no one actually has about God, and then knocking that idea down. Many proponents of atheism claim that we Christians believe in a God that's like a mythological creature flying around in space. The lead atheist, Richard Dawkins, has famously said that we might as well believe in a flying spaghetti monster. And an atheist Russian cosmonaut is credited with looking around in space and saying, well, I'm here, and I don't see God anywhere. Friends, that would be like Frodo reaching the summit of Mount Doom and saying, I'm here looking around, and there's no evidence of J.R.R. Tolkien anywhere. Frodo, you're in the story. Christians don't believe in a mythological creature flying around in space. We believe in a God who's the source of all creation, a God who is existence itself. He's not some powerful being in creation. All creation is in Him. As St. Paul penned, in Him we live, we move, and have our being. That's what we mean when we say God. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is Jeanette DeMello, host of Register Radio.
This is Doug Keck, EWTN President and Chief Operating Officer. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to this special Mother's Day edition of Call Me Catholic. This is the weekend we honor and celebrate the mothers among us. And we have as our guest today a mother in her own right, a grandmother too, but to our EWTN listeners and viewers, she is a spiritual mother who offers sound, loving counsel and compassion through her apostolate, Women of Grace. Jeanette Bankovic founded Women of Grace. It's a daily radio program, a television show, and a full ministry that provides inspiration and instruction to women seeking a model for Catholic virtue in modern life. And her newest book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare, co-written with Thomas Sullivan, is yet another tool in her rich library of resources aimed at getting us all to heaven, which we need this Mother's Day weekend and every weekend. So, Jeanette, so great to have you on Call Me Catholic. Thanks for staying with us for another portion of the conversation. Jeanette, do you have a favorite set of rosary beads? Do you own a favorite set? I often think that rosary beads, there's this place like the socks that get lost in the dryer where rosary beads that have been lost go, because I have lost many and I always seem to lose my favorite somehow.
Isn't that a funny thing? It seems to be the same way with me, too. So I've begun to think maybe I should just give my favorites away instead of losing them. I don't know.
Well, you know, I've never found anybody's stray rosary beads either. You know, that's the thing. I can't find them. I just lose them. So they must be going somewhere. The evil one is picking them up and putting them where we can't, burying them somewhere.
Well, I have rosaries in different places and for different uses. I have some that are outside on my lanai. I have some that are outside, you know, in my garden area. I have rosaries just about in every room of the house. So wherever I go, I can pick one up.
Perfect.
If I have a spare moment and begin to pray the rosary. If I was going to say what is my favorite rosary right now, I would have to say it is the one that Tom designed for the commemoration of the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima. It's a beautiful warrior's rosary, and each of the Our Father medals are depictive of one of the saints and blesseds that are associated with Fatima, including the various apparitions that the children saw on that last day, October 13th. So we have Our Lady of Mount Carmel there, for example. We have St. Joseph and the Child Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that rosary speaks to my heart very deeply.
Well, I would say that I have owned some beautiful rosaries in my life, and I've lost them. One, my favorite for a long time was from a nun who entered, a friend of mine, who entered the convent, the Cloistered Norbertine Order in Tehachapi, California, and they make rosaries. So she sent me a beautiful pair of pink crystal and I lost it. I don't know where I lost it. I retraced my steps. But now my newest favorite is the one that I took from, there was a basket of rosaries at Mother Angelica's funeral, the little rosaries that they put together. And it's a little plastic red one, and it's now my very favorite rosary. So I know you guys out there, you listeners, you have your favorite rosary beads, but don't just hold on to the one. Do Jeanette's way. Keep them everywhere so they're always within reach. It is such a Catholic tool. It's one of those Catholic brand things that I think when you see somebody holding a rosary in public, in the car, walking along the street, you know, oh, there's a fellow Catholic. There is a fellow prayer of to the Blessed Virgin Mary. I love rosaries. Jeanette, what is it about rosaries that you think people don't understand? I love the part in your book where you go into kind of the history of the rosary. There was a period in history when they were considered sort of fashion accessories.
Yes, isn't that interesting? It's lovely how every day and time sort of makes them their own with some kind of embellishment or some type of special bead that they use. And we know that flowers have been used. We know that different seeds have been used, a variety of different kinds of precious gems. And sometimes they would even embellish them with metals here and there on them. And to me, I think it's a beautiful thing because it shows that, you know, here we are and we're being given this beautiful devotion, but it's reflective and it has a meaning and a value in every generation, no matter what the circumstances historically or no matter what the cultural trend is at the time. So I think you can almost trace human history, or at least Christian history, let's put it that way, Christian history through the rosary going all the way back to the Colosseum. And that was probably the most fascinating thing that Tom and I discovered in our research, is that there is an archetype of pre-shadowing, a type of prefiguration in the Colosseum of the Rosary. And that shows us that it's been a very powerful opportunity for us in every moment of the history of our great faith.
Well, I love the story in the Colosseum of the virgins parading in, and they would, the brave Christian virgins who were, who were going to be martyred, and they would wear these wreaths of flowers in their hair. And after they died, the faithful would come up and, you know, gather up all the loose flowers that had fallen off their heads. And then they would say a prayer for each one of the flowers that they found, which is sort of a prefigurement of the rosary right there. But it was Saint Dominic who actually brought the rosary into full fruition and as a practice in our faith.
Right. But there's images, again, that predate St. Dominic. And, of course, when he brought the rosary in, you know, Our Lady had given it to him to pray to fight the Albigensian heresy. So, you know, Our Lady's own, what would I say, entrustment of the rosary to us comes by way of the need to raise a battle of prayer against something that was threatening the church. And so I think its very origins there. And I mean, of course, even if you look at the wreaths of roses that the girls would wear, the women would wear into the Colosseum, even there, you know, there's a reality of spiritual battle that exists. So the rosary has always been associated with winning battles against evil so that good could triumph, you know, smiting the head of the serpent with Our Lady so that the fullness of her son's reign could come to be.
If you were to talk to people who felt that the rosary was kind of a boring form of prayer, a difficult thing to stay engaged with, how would you encourage them to take it back up again?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, because it is a long prayer and it's a repetitive prayer, and it can become boring. It can become stale. We can become very distracted. And I think we've all suffered with those things from time to time. But it doesn't matter the type of prayer or the devotion that we're praying. This is a common reality of all prayer. We all hit those moments of aridity, and the great saints tell us, especially Teresa of Avila, that you just hang in there. You don't stop praying. You fortify your prayer time. You increase your prayer time. You put more prayer times into your day because you're in the desert and you're battling the enemy, right? But there's great life in the desert. I do want to say that too. In the book, towards the end of the, I don't know if it's the last chapter or not. I'm looking at it right now as we're talking. I offer a whole chapter. It's chapter 12, using your spiritual weapon, praying the rosary well. And I give people a lot of little tips on how they can remain connected to the prayers they're praying as they go along. And one of my favorites really comes from Pope Paul VI. And he encourages us to basically put a little extra phrase in the Hail Mary based on the mystery that we're praying at the time. And so it's, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, as he entered the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, and you can actually take yourself through the entirety of each of those mysteries, kind of focusing on a different aspect of that particular scene. And it helps to unite us to that moment. And I think it's a beautiful way to keep our attention I also recommend, Peggy, that people change their cadence. Pray it out loud. Mm-hmm. Pray it silently. You know, pray it a little bit more quickly as the Holy Spirit moves you along. Or stop and ponder. You know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. What was it like at that moment of your Annunciation, Mother? I'll never be experiencing the fecundation of the womb as you did by the Holy Spirit. But surely there's an Annunciation for me. Help me to enter into that moment where I too am overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then we proceed.
You know, I met a woman recently who was saying that she learned to say the Hail Mary in Spanish because it wasn't her native language or even her second language, but she had heard it spoken in Spanish, and it just had this lyrical beauty to her that transcended the English language. So she alternates Spanish and English. You can easily memorize the, you know, if you give it some time, the Hail Mary in another language. I'm sure it's very beautiful in French too. But I think that also is kind of a beautiful way. The words may not be literal to you, but sometimes the lyrics put you into the moment, and it's quite beautiful.
That's lovely.
And I also think another way, Johnette, that I see a lot of Catholics have forgotten how to do, or they don't know how to do it, is to do it when you do it with other people. It's the choral method where you alternate. Somebody takes the mystery, somebody leads the prayers, and you alternate that. So you're hearing different voices and you enter at different times, and it becomes more of like a collaborative, almost like a song of a hymn that you're offering rather than just rote prayers. So I think people need to learn how to do it in the choral pattern too with other people.
I like that. One of the things that I like very much, and I discovered this when I was in Ireland, is that, you know, typically one side will always pray the Hail Mary in the first section of the prayer, and then the other side will pick up the other. Mm-hmm. But then they will flip it around a little bit. And so they'll move it back and forth, you know, on who's doing what. And I like that very much.
Yeah, that's cool too. Well, you know, in this novena that I'm involved in right now for Our Lady of Fatima, in the daily prayer that I say, it's very interesting to me. I don't know who wrote this novena, but it actually implies that don't let me get bored by the rosary. I mean, it says it in much more poetic terms than that. But I think that this is something that people struggle with. It's a common struggle. So if you're listening to this program and thinking, oh, that takes so much time, it's really difficult, you're not alone, but the fruits of it are evident. And this book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare by Johnette Bankovic and her collaborator, Thomas Sullivan, really give you some wonderful imagery and instructions for bringing this back to life in your devotional practices.
One of the things that's also unique about it, Peggy, is that we really set up the whole background of spiritual warfare, where it started, you know, how it started, how that affected man, what it has to do with us as men, what it has to do with us as women, and how it is that, you know, this great provision of God's generosity through the rosary can really help us along the way. And I think that it makes a profound impression upon people that helps them to step out of, you know, just even a very myopic view of the way in which their own life situation is going, and see that this is all part of a broader strategy. And we have a part to play in winning that ultimate battle.
It's a team. It's a team effort. And I love that concept. Johnette, is there a miracle associated with the rosary that you are particularly fascinated by or drawn to?
Well, that's a good question. I've never really thought about it. I would probably have to say, Peggy, that if I were to talk about the greatest miracle, it would be a personal one. And it would be the way in which the rosary ministered to me when my son was killed in a single vehicle accident shortly after he returned home from Iraq. It was the rosary that was my lifeline. And it seemed to me that, you know, I had a special grace that helped me to move into it with a facility that I never had experienced before. And for me, the rosary helped me to find, in the midst of my greatest grief, the greatest joy. Mm. And that's miraculous to me.
That is miraculous. I can't trump that miracle, Johnette. That's important, and it's resounding, and it continues to deliver in your life, clearly. You know, a couple of the people at the end of the books talked about how the rosary, they almost had a physical sensation of warmth. I want to tell our listeners that it doesn't always translate that vividly. It doesn't translate that sort of physiologically. It sometimes is a slow-moving process. I'm sure that even with this miracle that you just described, it was a slow-moving process. You had to go back and say, I was carried all this distance by Our Lady.
I think that that's true, Peggy, because it's sometimes retrospectively that we find the fruit. And that is the case with me. Sometimes when I'm praying the rosary, I'm struggling. You know, I'm struggling to get through it, and you know, I'm tempted to look at my watch, and yet I know that I have to pull back, you know, from that, and I don't realize the grace in that moment.
Yeah.
But at some point in time, there will be a little inspiration that comes along the way, or a new insight, or I'll find that I have the words to answer a caller on the radio.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, where did that come from? Yeah. It came from that time of prayer. It came from praying the rosary.
Well, in another conversation, I would love to just talk to you about all the people whom you face in your daily calls. I heard you speaking with one woman this morning, and I thought, how do you find the words? That is certainly a special blessing that you have, that God is using you as a channel to console and counsel people, Jeanette. I think it's quite remarkable. Well, Jeanette, our time has come to an end, and I know you must be looking at your watch because you're going on to some other very important appointment or engagement or camera or studio or something. So, Jeanette, first I want to wish you a very, very happy Mother's Day. Do you have some special celebrations planned with your family?
I'm going to be with my two daughters, and that's going to be a beautiful gift.
Well, I hope that you enjoy yourself and that you are spoiled, because you certainly deserve that. And I thank you for your life's example and for all the resources you provide for those of us on the road to heaven. We need help staying on course. And your words and your steady, consistent presence in Catholic media gives us an anchor to tether ourselves to. Your book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare, co-written by Thomas Sullivan, is available, I'm assuming, on EWTN's Religious Catalog?
It is indeed.
Okay, EWTNRC.com, and probably wherever fine books are sold, but we want you to seek it out at EWTN first. So, Jeanette Bankovic, thank you again. God bless you for your ministry, and come back and visit us again on Call Me Catholic, would you please?
Oh, indeed, Peggy, and thank you for all that you do. You know, I think that we are mighty warrior women in this hard day and time, and we want other women to join us, right?
Well, I'm a little meek warrior, Jeanette. I'm just right behind you. I'll go wherever you go, though. This is beautiful. Thank you very much again. And friends, stay with us when we return and wrap up our special Mother's Day edition of Call Me Catholic with a Chatting with Catholics segment. We're going to talk to a mother who had a very special encounter with Our Lady of Perpetual Help, and she'll talk about how that saved her during a family crisis. So stay with us. We'll be right back with more Call Me Catholic. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going.
No, I didn't take my faith seriously, which probably means I never really got it to begin with.
You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home, but if you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there.
We are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust, especially as a man, but there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. Thank God I'm home.
Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it.
There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
You're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Happy Mother's Day weekend, everybody. I'm Peggy Normandin, back with more of our special Mother's Day edition of Call Me Catholic. I wanted to have a special Chatting with Catholics segment for you today for our Mother's Day show. And who better to chat with than my own mother, who has been an enduring example, such an inspiration for me and my three sisters, and her three sons-in-law, I will add. So I asked my mom to share a story that we heard many times growing up about a powerful moment in her childhood when she witnessed her mother's unshakable faith. Have a listen.
I grew up with a story that my mother told me many times as I was growing up. It certainly did impress me about the power of prayer, the great, great, wonderful, helpful power of prayer. It was in the early 20s. We were very poor. There was a depression on. Everybody was poor. My dad worked at different jobs and made very little income. Mother never knew how much she was going to be able to have. She stayed at home, took care of us all, and managed with whatever he brought in. As we were growing up, so there was my sister, my brother, and myself, my mom and dad. We had a devotion. We would all kneel down around mother and dad's bed and say the rosary.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners.
And it was always a privilege to be the one that led the rosary, and kind of a little bit of sibling rivalry there. At the end of the rosary, my mother would have all the saints that she knew and was familiar with, but Our Lady of Perpetual Help, I definitely remember, was the first one she would always say, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, pray for us.
Our Lady of Perpetual Help is a title given to the Blessed Virgin Mary, associated with the Byzantine icon of the same name, said to be from the late 15th century. The icon depicts the Blessed Virgin Mary wearing a dress of dark red with blue mantle and veil. The Christ child is portrayed clinging to his mother with a dangling sandal. Mary holds him in her arms reassuringly, lovingly. Christ's little hands are pressed into Mary's as a reminder to us that, just as on earth, he placed himself entirely in her hands for protection, so now in heaven, he has given into her hands all graces to distribute to those who ask her. This is at the heart of the devotion to Our Lady of Perpetual Help.
And my mother was keeping house in the part of Los Angeles where we lived, and there was a knock on the door. She went to the door, and it was two little sisters of the poor. The little sisters of the poor are an order, they're still active today. They wore regular long black habits and the veils, and they went door to door, always walking in twos, begging for help for the poor people. The elderly poor people would mostly.
Alms for the poor, ma'am. Please, ma'am.
She went to the door, and it was two little sisters of the poor. Oh, she said, come on in. I'm sure that she invited them in, as she always did. They sat at a little table and had a glass of milk and a few graham crackers, I guess. And then her heart started pounding because she realized that they wanted a donation for their poorhouse. And the only money she had was $1, which had to last for about a week and feed her little family that length of time. So she kind of wrestled with it, but it was time for the nuns to go. And she told me that her pride overtook her. And she went and got the $1 bill and came and put it in their hand and wished them well. They hadn't left very long when she realized, what have I done, she said to herself. Look what my pride made me do. I haven't got anything for dinner for two nights, three nights probably before I get any more money. And she just started to sob. It's my pride that made me do that. And she cried and cried and cried. And then she prayed and prayed and prayed to Our Lady of Perpetual Help. And she just asked her, please, to help her accept this, to help her not to be so prideful about things. After a while, she went on about her work with a sad, heavy heart. And there was a knock on the door, pounding and whooping, hollering of friends, like. She ran to the door, and there were her cousins from Whittier, which is quite a little ways from where we lived. And they were a family that had a ranch. They called it a ranch. It was actually a walnut grove. And they came trooping in, I think there were two or three of them, maybe four of them, hugging and kissing, where they were an Irish clan, you know. And boxes of stuff they brought in and filled her refrigerator. There was a chicken, two dozen eggs, there were oranges, and there were walnuts. And they really filled the larder there. And then they had to go off. So off they went. And down on her knees went my mother, with thanks to Our Lady of Perpetual Help. I guess as I look back, I say that was my mother's role model there, because that is the way she then went on And she never closed the door on anyone who came and asked for anything. And this extended on into days that I very well remember, when the beggar knocked on the door and said, "I'm hungry. I want something to eat."
"I'm really hungry. It's hard out there, man. Appreciate it, man. It's so hard out there."
And my mother would say, "Sit down here." And she'd sit him down on the front porch and go in and fix him whatever it was, in peanut butter and jelly sandwich, always milk. And she'd sit him on the front porch. Then she'd come out and make sure his hands were clean with a washcloth and all. And then she'd hand him the plate of food. Always remembering in her heart those days when she needed food and Our Lady of Perpetual Help helped her. Mother's always answering the door and asking the sisters in for a little sustenance, a little rest, and always giving them money if she had it. It has always inspired me, and I think those dear sisters are still doing the same thing in a more modern way, and they have that wonderful home for the poor, the poor house, as they call it, in Wilmington, and it is a favorite charity of mine. That story brings a tear to my eye every time I think about it and every time I tell it. But to me, that's a story of true, wonderful faith.
The Little Sisters of the Poor are an international congregation of Roman Catholic women religious, founded in 1839 by St. Jean Jougan. Their mission is to offer the neediest elderly of every race and religion a home where they will be welcomed as Christ, cared for as family, and accompanied with dignity until God calls them to Himself. To learn more about the Little Sisters of the Poor, visit littlesistersofthepoor.org.
Boy, that is a very special story. I hope you enjoyed it. It seemed like a perfect tribute for Mother's Day. Now, in closing today, on this Mother's Day weekend, I want to share this beautiful prayer, meditation really, written by Joseph Cardinal Mezzenti. Here's how it goes. The most important person on earth is a mother. She cannot claim the honor of having built Notre Dame Cathedral. She need not. She has built something more magnificent than any cathedral, a dwelling for an immortal soul, the tiny perfection of her baby's body. The angels have not been blessed with such a grace. They cannot share in God's creative miracle to bring new saints to heaven. Only a human mother can. Mothers are closer to God, the Creator, than any other creature. God joins forces with mothers in performing this act of creation. What on God's earth is more glorious than this? To be a mother. Thank you, Cardinal Mezzenti, for that beautiful prayer. Hey, Barbara McGuigan is up next with 2 hours of The Good Fight, Always Good Dialogue. And check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/callmecatholic. It seems like a good week, Mother's Day weekend, to join our family. Right, Jimmy G?
Absolutely. Pop on over. You're missing out if you're not there.
But mostly we want you to tune in again next week, same day, same time, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.